Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Mark Ali, let's have more incredible.
Okay,
things.
I was just going to finish with the, you've got to sort of look at the Romans as well. Whatever the Romans were doing, you know, Merlin would have been keenly aware of what the Romans were doing. There's a possibility, for example, that the Picts as a tribe were particularly fond of keeping big cats as a pet. You know, so they could have had lions, tigers, pumas, you name it, all sorts of things, ocelots, forest cats. I mean, at this point in Britain as well, you've got things like bears, wolves, otters, beavers. You know, they're all things that are now extinct were still around, you know, before the cataclysm. So, some of the things Merlin could have come out with, you know, I'm going to make this up now, but this would be amazing. You can imagine Merlin sat there, you know, at a banquet, and everyone's like, "Well, Merlin, what amazing thing have you got for us tonight?" You know, and he goes, "Hey, wait till you see this." And he walks in with a giraffe. You know, that's going to be like, "Whoa, what's that?" You know, that's one hell of a dragon. You know, it's what, 20 foot, 22 foot tall. It eats leaves, you know. What the hell's that? So you can imagine these moments, you know, when you look back at in time, you know, they're magical moments, and they have that element of magic about them. You know, he could have known about lost technology. Yes, I'm willing to go down that route. He could have levitated stones, because in the one legend, he brings over stones from Ireland. Well, if you appreciate that South Wales was at this point settled by the Irish, that's where Stonehenge came from. So you're starting to look at plausibility here, how they got the stones across to, you know, across all the territory to Salisbury Plain is anybody's guess. But the legend is that he flew them. He flew them from Ireland. So you've got these hints of, you know, what I'm going to call von Daniken technology. You know, you've got these hints of ancient world things going on. So yes, yeah, I'm going to say yes to magic. Yeah, I'm sure that people would have been under the impression that he could do some pretty jolly amazing things.
All right, well, you brought up Stonehenge. So, you know, I'm going to have to ask, and I know that this was really more of a modern association, and I mean modern by any time after, I think, the 15th century, where various standing stones across Great Britain have been associated with King Arthur. And any, you know, do you think there was any validity to those claims? I mean, not just Stonehenge, but others.
There's a few observations there. I mean, what I did tend to find when I was doing the research is that if there's a prehistoric monument there, so you've got this whopping great big whatever it is made of stone, and it's been there for hundreds, thousands of years, they tended to use them as territorial markers. So, you know, for example, there's in Herefordshire, this Arthur's Stone. Well, that could easily be the furthest point that Arthur's territory reached, or a place where Arthur would have stopped, because it's a major landscape feature. So I don't see that as a problem. What you've got to be extremely careful of, though, is, like you say, in medieval times, people all wanted a piece of Arthur, and as soon as they started drawing maps and then printing maps, and then you finish it with Ordnance Survey maps, all that is pretty much nonsense. You know, the names don't go back far enough for us to be certain that they have anything directly to do with Arthur. But then the idea that he flew stones over and that it's Stonehenge, I think the story might have some kind of validity. But in the story, it's referred to as the Giant's Dance. And the Giant's Dance are piles of stones near a Welsh town called Ceredigion, which is not far from Bala Lake, and they're across a hillside there. And from my research, that I would say that's probably where the piles of stones that Merlin had assembled, that's where they still are today. There's probably about half a dozen different mounds of these volcanic stones. They all have strange laser-cut lines in them and things like that. One's cut in half. But they're all sat in piles on top of limestone. So I would love to get a proper analysis of the rock done for those and find out if they do come from Ireland. But certainly they don't belong there. They're not made from local rock. So, I think that's a real giant stamp. So, again, it's a case of, you know, yeah, there's a great deal of truth in the story. Yes, there are piles of stones associated with Merlin, but the good old Victorians got hold of a medieval tale about Stonehenge, and that's where we get the modern day legend from. So it's not Stonehenge, you know, and Glastonbury doesn't have anything to do with it whatsoever, and neither does Tintagel or Winchester with its round table. I think I clear that up in about two pages at the beginning of the book. That's not the legend we're dealing with here. Okay.
So this, I've got to take this back to, you know, what you were talking about previously about, you know, Merlin and the possibility that, you know, that he was using science for his magic. Considering that the Greeks, the ancient Greeks, had an influence on ancient Britain. I mean, what's the possibility that, you know, because we know that the Greeks were very far ahead of the time, science, you know, mathematically and with the, technological aspects. I mean, so what's the possibility that, that Merlin may have gotten a hold of some of these great ideas that were coming from Greece? And, you know, made use of them, you know, not just Merlin, but I guess, you know, the other Merlins as well.
Well, yeah, I'm absolutely, totally. I think that's something that does definitely comes out in the book. The Greeks definitely visited us in the BC period. There's a guy called Pytheas the Greek. And he actually sails around parts of Britain, and he records his visit here. And he's in something like 323 BC, and we've got lots and lots of connections that then follow after that between us and the Greeks. And to some extent, Druidism in general, some of their connections go all the way back to Sanskrit. Now, Sanskrit is a Middle Eastern language, so, you know, the word Druid is derived from the Sanskrit word for an oak tree. So by the time you start looking at this, you realise that Druidism at this point is a sort of compendium of knowledge and wisdom and things known from all around the world. You know, it's not a tiny regional British religion. It's huge. I mean, there was an enormous conclave of Druids at the source of the River Seine in France. They were all over the place. The Greek culture came into France through Marseille. Marseille's a Greek colony. So there were connections. You can follow this trail going all the way back to Greece itself. It's said, and I'm going to go into legend here because you're going to love this. If anybody watched the movie Troy, right at the very end, because I know you guys like your movies, right at the end of Troy, there's a guy, I think it's Orlando Bloom, is playing this character called Aeneas. And right at the end, Aeneas is handed this sword, and it's like the sword of Troy. And the guy says to Aeneas, look, keep that safe. That's your right to rulership. You know, you've got to hold on to that. And he vanishes down a corridor, and he escapes. He escapes the city of Troy. That's the guy who's said to have come to Britain and founded the Britons. Aeneas the Greek, he's said to have come here. And so that makes us, originally, a Greek colony. I mean, that's going way back. I mean, Troy, you're in the, you know, second millennium BC. It's very, very early. But that also has consequences in Arthur's day, because this idea, this concept that the Romans came and invaded us, it's not strictly true. Because if they believed that we were Trojan in origin, that we came from Troy as a race, so did the Romans. They were also descendants of Troy. So that kind of puts a different slant on it, because you're thinking, hang on a minute, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. Both races, that is the race that's here in Britain, and the race of invaders, who are the Romans, both trace their origins back into the BC period for quite a considerable time, all the way back to Troy and to the Trojans. So actually, what the Romans are effectively arguing is that it's a reconquest, that they own Britain anyway. You know, so I don't think the political map back then is quite as Victorian scholars believed it to be, you know. And this book is upsetting a few of those apple carts along the way.
We're going to have some more apple carts to deliver, okay? And then we're going to turn them over upside down, and therefore they'll be upset. Mark, Gene, Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, the Paracast exists to turn over apple carts. Not that we don't like apples, but we turn over empty apple carts, right, Mark?
Yes, we do indeed. Sadly, some of the apple carts have been empty for a very long time. I have to say that, you know, there'll be some academics out there who will be cheering this book on. You know, they'll be sat there going, thank goodness, at last somebody's, you know, done it. Because I think everybody knows the information in here, certainly in academic circles, but nobody's actually, you know, they've all got careers, they're all working for universities and colleges and all this, that and the other, and they just don't want to upset the apple cart. But, you know, some of them are going to be grinding the teeth, you know, some are going to be chewing on the knuckles, and there might be, you know, a few careers made and lost, you know, once this book gets into the popular imagination. I mean, there used to be this old thing where you weren't allowed to slag anybody off in academia while they were still alive, and that goes all the way back, way, way back to early Victorian times, you know, that kind of, it's an unwritten law, you know. But some of these guys live to like 60, 70, 80 years of age, you know, we're not going to progress if we're sat here going, oh, you know, I really don't want to upset, you know, Charles Darwin or whatever by telling him that it's a load of bunkum. You know, you can't do that because you're sinking a person's career. You're destroying their means of making a living. But I think now in the 21st century, I think, you know, the whole of academia in a way needs to man up and say, you know, we've tolerated a lot of twaddle for a long time, you know, for a couple of hundred years now. It's time to kick that old paradigm, you know, into touch and just get on with it. You know, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, then it's a duck, you know. And that the book very much takes that, as indeed does all my other books. They all kind of take that approach. You know, if there's some substance there, you know, you don't get any smoke without fire. So, yeah, there goes the apple cart. Boom. I heard it go over then.
Speaking of apple carts, let's look back through the history here. With all the lore we see about out-of-place artifacts, ancient astronauts, any of that tie into the King Arthur legends?
I think the answer is probably yes. I would say that the more we've learned about people in the past, the more that we realise that, you know, they're not primitive, not as it's been portrayed. Back to, you know, slagging off academia again. You know, nobody ever used to run around, you know, looking like a monkey dressed in skins, harpooning woolly mammoths. You know, it's made up nonsense because they would just freeze or starve to death. You know, it's not real. It's a kind of fantasy, and it's equally true of Arthur. It's equally true of, you name it, you know, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Egyptians, the Aborigines, the Romans, the Greeks. You know, go wherever you want in archaeology. They're going to love me for this. You've got all these archaeologists out there going, well, you know, we can't really tell you the truth because, you know, we found this Greek supercomputer in a shipwreck the other day, but we're not allowed to tell anybody about it, you know, just in case, you know, it upsets the paradigm. Well, I'm saying that because it's true. You know, there's so many I've had archaeologists come up to me and off the record, you know, I can't name names and name places, but, you know, off the record, I've been sent, you know, photographs of Bronze Age axe heads, European Bronze Age axe heads found in America, you know, inscriptions in Australia that shouldn't be there. You know, they fingerprinted copper from this country and discovered that in, you know, 2000 BC, they were exporting copper to Egypt. You know, there's ingots of iron turned up in Germany with pharaonic stamps on. You know, clearly the ancient world was not what we imagine it to be. They had the same world, the same planet, the same brains, the same abilities, and a huge amount more clarity than we've got. You know, because they're not cluttered by modern twaddle. And they just did the best job they could with what they had. Boy, did they do a good job. You know, we turn up things in archaeology we have no explanation for because they knew how to do it, but we don't, you know. And again, you know, a lot of scientists out there will say, we're not discovering this, we're rediscovering this, you know. So absolutely. I mean, you know, they used to, what was it, in Men in Black? I remember watching a scene in Men in Black where the guy at the end goes up to this newsstand and he buys one of these terrible, you know, daily rags that they produce, that, you know, flying saucer found in the North Pole, you know, or, you know, my nan ate my slippers, you know, and all this. And the guy says, you know, why are you reading this? And he just says, because the truth is in the small print. Now, you know, I know it's a movie, but, you know, take it from that. He's reading it because he knows that hidden, out of sight, way over left field, chances are that's where you're going to find the truth. Now, you know, I've got to give it away. I was 60 this year. Now, 60 years of doing this, because I've always been into it, has taught me, you know, in a lifetime that that's where you go. That's where you go find stuff. You know, you go and have a look where they're telling you not to look. And read the books they're telling you not to read, you know, and go and talk to the archaeologists who can't put it on paper, but they are willing to talk to you. You know, go and find this information, find these people. I'm not saying you'll get the right answer. I mean, to be honest, I mean, there's a lovely story. I met Eric von Daniken at a conference last year. So you can imagine what this is like. You know, we're sat at the table eating our butties in the lunch break, and he's sat right next to me. And I know he's Eric von Daniken, and he knows that I'm an archaeologist. So you can imagine, to begin with, you could have cut the atmosphere with a butter knife, you know what I mean? It was odd, very odd situation. So I thought, I'm going to have to do something about this. I was kind of hoping his English was good, because, you know, he's a German-speaking Swede. So I kind of said to him, I said, as an archaeologist, I said, when I was a kid, my dad had Chariots of the Gods, and I read it, and I said, you know, I didn't necessarily agree with all of it, but as a trainee archaeologist, it made me stop and think. It made me ask questions about, you know, is this the way we think it is? Are we looking at what we think we're looking at? And I said, I've carried that my entire archaeological career. And he put his sandwich down, he just leaned over to me and looked at me, and I can't do his accent, but he just said, do you know, he said, there are 267 question marks in that book. And I just thought, do you know what? He's got it. He's on the same page that I'm on. Question everything. You know? That book's not a statement of intent. It's a statement of question. Question everything. That was the purpose behind Chariot of the Gods. So, do you know what? I'll take that quote to my grave. It was bang on the money. Absolute bang on the money. And we got on great after that. I can't even remember half the other things we chatted about. But that was just, you know, I thought, yeah, Eric, you're a star. You've nailed it. You've nailed it for me. Doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. You made us stop and think, you know, and that's it.
By the way, listeners, we had Eric von Daniken with Hebrew scholar David Halperin on the PowerCast February 4th, 2018. He only was there, Eric von Daniken, for half the show, but as you say, his English was quite presentable.
Yes. Yeah, very good. Very, very good. He has a really funny way of doing things, actually, because the way he speaks when you see him talking, especially in interviews, that's exactly the same way that he does messages. So if anybody's following Ancient Aliens, I'm going to get a plug in here. I was on Ancient Aliens the last season. I'm on one on crop circles and one on obelisks and a few other bits and bobs. The way he types messages, the way he types things on the internet is exactly the same as the way he speaks. So you look at some of the posts and you think, ah, do you know what? Eric's written that.
Hey, before we laugh ourselves crazy here, which is very close to happening, Mark, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
USA News Update. Former Vice President Mike Pence says he's troubled by the potential indictment and arrest of his one-time boss, Donald Trump. Pence told reporters an indictment would be concerning, although he is confident the former president can take care of himself. A massive pileup on a snowy Michigan highway left several people injured. Lieutenant Jack Peters with the Ionia County Sheriff's Office spoke to 13 on Your Side.
That bridge is not a great spot to have accidents. I've had police accidents there before with fatalities. So today we don't have any fatalities, and I'm grateful, extremely grateful for that.
The crash involved nearly 100 vehicles. It closed Interstate 96 in both directions for 3 miles between Grand River and Portland Township. There's a lot more banks that risk facing the same fate as Silicon Valley Bank. Recent study from the Social Science Research Network found that 186 banks across the U.S. could collapse. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Now, I go back, way back, in looking at ancient astronaut lore. There was a guy named Yonah Fortner, who used the name Y.N. Ibn Aharon for Saucer News Magazine, Jim Moses Magazine, back in the 1950s. He wrote a series called Extraterrestrialism as an Historical Doctrine. Now, this goes back, like I said, 55 years or so. Probably three people out there in the audience know who Yonah was. But he was one of the first people to sit and try to figure out what was going on here. And he spoke more languages than you knew about. The problem with Yonah, he was also a big storyteller. So when he spoke in Sanskrit, you didn't know.
I'm slightly later generation than that, because I was only born in 62, so I kind of, most of what was happening in the 1950s, I got it in retrospect, because the reason I'm an archaeologist is down to my dad. The reason I've got an interest in UFOs is down to my dad. I mean, he's long gone. He passed away a couple of years ago, aged 89, so I mean, that's another generation altogether. But he had all this material. He was a volunteer digger on archaeological sites, and that's how I started going down with it. I was 8 years old when he took me on my first dig, so, you know, I've got some great memories of what we did together back then. But I kind of picked up on things, you know, in retro. I mean, you were talking earlier on about biblical stuff and flying saucers in the Bible. Wheels of Ezekiel springs to mind. That was a book, I think, that was produced in the 1960s. There was another writer back then called Andrew Thomas. He did books like We Are Not the First and things like that. There was a real blossoming in the early 60s of stuff to do with ancient technology. Eric was around, obviously, you know, looking at ooparts and extraterrestrial stuff. The modern day equivalent to that, I suppose, is Ancient Aliens, you know. But the chap you just spoke about, I mean, he was probably United States more than UK. I don't recall that name. So of the three or four people who are listening who do recognize that name, I'm not one of them. I'm sorry.
Well, the problem with Yonah is he suffered from polio as a child. He had difficulty getting around very much. So most of the time I did talk to him, he had an apartment in Brooklyn, New York, in the East New York section, just like if you recall the TV show East New York, a TV procedural on CBS. That is the real place you see pictured there. Now, I visit him every so often. He was a lot of fun to be around, but once again, you didn't know whether he was pulling your leg or not. But he seemed awfully serious about this theory and resented the fact that he got there first and all these other people came later, and he felt, number one, they didn't get it quite as accurately as he did. But the problem is he didn't make the proper effort to get the word out. So being in a magazine with 500 circulation doesn't really help. Too bad.
No, I mean,
really, he was a character, though. He was such a character.
I could go with that, because as I'm getting older, I mean, like I said, it took 45 years to actually get this book into publication. And I have got another one that's not quite as old as that. It's 44 years in production, which I'm hoping to do. As I've got less and less mobile, and I'm spending more time, and obviously since we've had, you know, the pandemic and lockdowns and all that nonsense, I've kind of set myself the task of trying to get most of this into print if I can, because I don't want to be guilty of kind of all the stuff that's been entrusted to me. I don't want to duck out and all that stuff vanish, you know. I would definitely say this to anybody that's listening. If you have information, get it written down somewhere, get it recorded, you know, get it into a place where people know about it somehow. Because, you know, the internet isn't going to last forever, technology doesn't last forever, you know, one decent solar flare and all the microchips are gone and, everything will just disappear. And that's, you know, things like that have happened before, historically, archaeologically, geologically. Just if you've got something, write it down, you know, for goodness sake, get it into hard copy. You know, don't rely on you know, even if you just save to disk or you save to flash drive or you duplicate, you know, that's a lesson actually coming all the way back to King Arthur. You know, people did not pay attention at the time. Yes, they had other things, you know, the world's coming to an end and your empire's collapsing and all this, that and the other. Yes, all that, you know, applies. But if they'd have done a better job of it and they'd have duplicated it to a greater extent, we wouldn't perhaps have lost it the way that we've lost it. You know, there'd be no need for the Polychrome because people would know. So there is a huge lesson there in recording stuff, you know, getting stuff preserved. I mean, archaeologically, academically, you know, I can say this, you know, the more information we can gather, the more we know. But it all needs saving. People need to know about it. You know, that it's a shame, really, because archaeology is guilty of not communicating the end result, perhaps as well as it should do. You know, all the time and effort and publications and work that we do and all that. You know, you don't want it finishing up in the bottom drawer. You know, rotting away as a report in a library somewhere. You know, you know, hats off to people like Ancient Aliens and other TV shows that are getting things out there, you know. Yeah, so if there are any listeners that have any information at all, write it down, get it into hard copy, you know. That is one of the lessons of time.
You know, another lesson, too, about that is if you capture something in digital form, and there are exceptions, there's a possibility that 10 years from now that digital format will no longer be supported. Because the company that made the product that creates those documents will have changed their minds. And I'll give people just a very technical answer. There's something called Quark Express, very well-known page makeup or desktop publishing application. It goes back to the 80s. But if you have documents in the early versions of the program, you can't read them anymore. I have issues of a magazine I did in the late 1980s on floppy disk, believe it or not. Very little hope that I have anything now that could read it, which is sad. But if you write something down, as long as you can interpret the written language, you still have the information. Maybe that's a pitch for being old-fashioned.
Well, yeah, let me leap in. I mean, the Arthur book is a prime example of that. 1977, the first thing I wrote was a handwritten script. Then I went on to handwritten notes, so I finished up with that, loads of stuff in a clip file. Then I acquired a BBC, so the first draft of the book with the index was on a BBC computer. Then I got an Amstrad, I think it was a PCW8256, and then a 952 double disc drive one. So it went through two versions of the Amstrad, which of course, as we all know, became obsolete. Then it went from there to Windows 3.0, which is the first version of what we're on now. And it has gone through seven different Windows version laptops. So the last version, I think, was either Windows 8 or Windows 10. Then it went to the publisher, who then kind of angle ground it and turned it into a PDF, and it's finished up on Amazon. So it's in a completely different format again for publication. But the actual process, that's 45 years of process to the final book. The only thing that's going to actually matter is the book. So it's ridiculous when you think about it. You know, the guys out there who are, you know, if you want to spend your money on something worthwhile, buy a Polychronicon, you know, and make sure it survives. You know, because that's the only thing that, like you say, is going to make it. And I think the European language will survive for quite a while yet. I think the English language is everywhere. So it's a nice format to use. But totally with you on that one, Gene, totally, 100%. And this book is a prime example of exactly that.
Well, when we go into the different formats, the ones that still are preserved are PDF, portable yeah. document format, invented by Adobe. That's still preserved. Also, Microsoft Word files are still readable after all these years. So those are two formats. Or just plain text. Plain text can be read by almost anything. This is just a guide point here. Because think about it, what's going to happen 100 years from now? All the work you spent 45 years on, and you've got stuff in there that you really think people in the future would want to know about. How do you preserve that documentation in a way that somebody picking it up 100 years later, assuming there's a place and a civilization left 100 years from now, we sure hope there will be, how will they read what you wrote if you don't put them in a format that is readily available? I'm assuming the Microsoft Word format 50 years from now may not be readable anymore. PDF, same thing. It may be something else. Who knows? We'll talk about that on another occasion with Mark and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we started, and we've gone a great distance, with the book The Polychronicon of Merlin, Joseph, and Arthur, a book by Mark Olley, with a main purpose of finding the real and the myth about the legendary characters such as King Arthur, and, of course, Merlin, and possibly that there are several of these. And I go to the larger question here. We're looking into ancient astronauts, ancient aliens. And we're dealing with ancient books that were written probably years after the fact, have been edited, have been covered to be politically correct for their time. How do we know, even in the Bible, that events that we assume to be historical are accurate? I mean, you could look at something that happened yesterday, and there are 26 different versions of it. If you go back 2,000 years, how do you know?
Well, I think there's a quote. I can't remember who said it, but somebody said, "History is the myth that we all agree on," which is a fabulous quote. I mean, that's it. You just nailed it, really, in what you said. History is the myth that we all agree on. I think if people thought something was worth preserving, they probably did. And, you know, I mean, the oldest surviving written records are clay tablets, you know, the cuneiform stuff. And they've lasted from 7,500 BC plus. So they are old, you know, and that kind of shows you the kind of level you have to go to in order for something to be preserved. It's got to be, you know, clay or stone. You're looking at the materials of the earth that will survive. But at the end of the day, we're on a hiding to nowhere because we need a time machine. You know, the only way we're going to know the truth is to get in a time machine, and preferably one that doesn't create a paradox. So you need a time machine that's going to go back, but then at the same time not interact and not be seen, and then you can see the truth of it. But then even that, if somebody came back and got out the time machine and said, you know, this is how it was, it's that person's perception of what you're looking at, culturally, linguistically, you know, how good are their observational skills, like you say. Extraordinarily difficult. I've got to say, well, at the end of the day, I suppose the Polychronicon is my view of a string of material that was left behind by people of different views. It's difficult to say what is definitive. As you say, you know, some guy's leaning on a farmer's gate, watch this flying saucer go whizzing through the sky. You're going to get different accounts from different viewpoints. That's the human animal, if you like. That's what we are and who we are. So it's difficult. What is it, a chimera bombinating in a vacuum to eat second intentions, as somebody once said? You know, it's impossible. Impossible to really be definitive about something. It's up to us, I suppose, in modern times to push into these things using what we have available to us now. I think I said earlier on, looking at UFO crashes and things like that, the bits of fragments and debris and technology and whatnot that turn up. You know, I am sure that the Second World War technology that was advanced, you know, in 1945, I'm sure that has developed into something which the ordinary man in the street has no concept of whatsoever. It's almost like us and them. You know, there's a line. People who are in the know and they're just not saying, and then there's everybody else, which is the way the world's gone. Sadly, that's how it is. One day, you know, we might find out. It's that fantastic sequence, actually, of reverse-engineered stuff. I think it's in the second Men in Black movie. Will Smith walks into a room and he touches this ball, and this ball goes absolutely bonkers. You know, it destroys the room. It's reversed alien technology, reverse-engineered. But take out the fiction, and it raises the question, what have we got? What can we do? What is there out there, you know?
Well, you know, when it comes to things like reverse-engineered technology and about even the so-called UFO crashes, there's always the possibility here that something like a Roswell was really some kind of test aircraft that was 20 years ahead of time, 10 years ahead of time, whatever, back in the late 40s. Therefore, we didn't quite understand it then, or we did and we kept it a secret. But then over the years, all of this stuff gets buried. It's like the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, where the Ark of the Covenant is placed in this warehouse, never to be heard from again. So even if Roswell did, and I'm not necessarily convinced one way or the other, even if Roswell did involve the crash of a spaceship, all these decades later, it would have been secreted away, ignored, have dust over it, whatever. We really wouldn't know what to do with it. If they reveal it tomorrow, what are we going to do with it? We have the technology of the iPhone. But if we have a civilization that's 1,000 years ahead of us, that wouldn't even be a beginning.
No, absolutely not. I mean, and the Germans had Das Loch, which is this strange bell thing. You know, everything's been, it's been attributed as a time machine or a flying craft or you name it. And, you know, very often you see the Adamski-style UFOs with swastikas on the side, things like that. You know, it's... You know, what were we up to? Where did we go? You know, how did all that end up? You know, and like you say, 1,000 years from now, you know, we could end up looking like ants, you know, running around as primitive as insects compared to other folks that have the technology. Or, as is the way of things, there could be some kind of disaster that reduces us back to no technology at all or very little, you know. Meteorite strike, you name it, whatever, solar flare, who knows? You know, it's one of these, which way in Hollywood do you want to go? Do you want to go science fiction, super technology, you know, idyllic future? Or, you know, do you want to go kind of down the catastrophic, cataclysm, end of the world, disaster type approach? Either are equally possible. It's just wherever we end up, you know, in the next life or the next dimension, wherever we end up, it's going to be a fascinating ride into the future. There's no doubt about that at all. In the book I'm working on at the moment about UFOs, I do actually have a section at the end to do with time and looking at, you know, whether or not technologically, you know, things are possible in terms of travelling through time as well as space. So maybe that'll come up again as an interesting topic, no doubt, in the future.
No doubt in the future. And by the way, Mark Olley will also hang with us for this weekend's episode of After the Paracast, which, of course, is the premium show for those who subscribe to the Paracast Plus. I'm thinking about that time machine. It would be so much fun to go back in the past. And I'm not going to ask Mark whether his dad, the archaeologist, actually recovered that Stargate that we all know about. That didn't happen, did it?
It'd be great if he did. I'd absolutely love it if he did. I'll tell you what, we've dug up loads of interesting things, but you might want to save that then for the after show.
I'd love a Stargate, though, because I don't have to wait 200 years to go from one star system to another. You just walk into the water, and you get out, and there you are. Mark Olley, please tell our listeners, if they want to know more of the things you do and the things you're working on, where do they check you out?
I am a man of very, very simple requirements. If you want to buy any of my books, there are 9 of them out there, and they are all on Amazon. So type my name into Amazon, type in the Polychronicon of Merlin Joseph of Arthur. I think there's one on the Ninth Legion, there's one on Robin Hood, R-O-B-Y-N-H-O-O-D-E. There's one on the Green Man, there's three regional history books, there's Crystal Skulls and Human Heads, there's, as I say, Polychronicon, and there's shortly to be one on UFOs. So if you want to buy any of my material, go onto Amazon, click, pay for it. A few days later, it comes whizzing through the door. Brilliant. Love it to bits. If you want to contact me, if you're after me, it's equally as simple. Messenger or join me on Facebook. I'm going to say that. That's the best way to get in contact with me. If you want interviews, you want to talk to me, you want my email address, anything like that, it all starts with Facebook. Come and find me on Facebook. I'm fairly distinctive, and you'll know when you've found me because of, I believe, the books on my banner advertised at the moment. So you'll have no trouble finding me. So that's it, really. Really simple. Amazon or Facebook Messenger. There you go.
We go to Twitter if you look for the PowerCast, as long as Elon Musk lets us do it. We're on Facebook. We have a fan club and a group. They won't let us post the PowerCast.com, however, nor will they let Tim post ConspiracyJournal.com, but that's their fault. You can get branded merchandise at the PowerCast.shop or the PowerCast.store with the logos and everything. We also offer the PowerCast Plus, another domain name extension, the PowerCast.plus. We give you this show free of network ads for a low subscription rate, plus the After the PowerCast podcast, which is uncensored, uninterrupted, till they throw us out. The PowerCast.plus, use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, to earn a 20% discount on five-year and lifetime subscriptions. The PowerCast.plus. Mark Ali, always a ball to talk to you. Thank you for joining us on the PowerCast.
Absolutely loved it. Thank you for having me.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I need more time to file my taxes. Help!
On IRS.gov, you can use IRS Free File to get 6 more months. Or you can submit IRS Form 4868 by the April deadline. If you owe taxes, you can make an electronic payment and get a filing extension with no need to submit Form 4868. Go to IRS.gov for details. But remember, an extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay what you owe.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.